Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. It is Friday. Woo woo. And every Friday around this time, we do this thing. F-I-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's friends. Just friends. Yeah. It's time to look back on all the best stuff listeners called and texted about during the week. And this week, Jen's friends are two comedians. Yeah, you get two for the price of one today. Julie J and Damien Clark. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hey.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
How are you? Happy Friday.
We're
happy
great.
Happy Friday.
I mean, there's three of us in here. Oh, but there's four of us. Isn't there, Julie?
Oh, yes. Okay, this one it all gets a bit Jerry Springer. I am preggo. Well observed, Damo. Well observed, I am.
I knew that as a fact. I don't assume.
I can't believe you did that.
What do you mean?
I've made the mistake in the past where I've put my hand on a woman's stomach and gone, oh, amazing. She's
oh, my
gone.
God, you didn't.
No.
I can feel the cake kicking.
And was this a friend? Did you know her well?
No, I was working in sales at the time and I was trying to sell her something, so I didn't know her.
Well, it's a dangerous game to play. Like, to be fair, even if that baby is crowning and you're in the delivery room, I think it's,
Brave move, Damo.
No, but me and Julia,
we
mates.
Just chatting.
I already congratulated her online and whatnot.
Okay. So. You've congratulated her online. Okay.
Online.
Yeah, that's then
so
you're
that's
safe.
That's real friendship.
So he was in a safe space.
So we're actually buddies outside of the media.
We are, and you know what? I think of you every day, Damo, because Damo, for our wedding, I know that does sound a little bit creepy of a Friday morning, but Damo, remember for our wedding, you did a caricature of myself and Fred.
Yep, I drew Julian.
He's very talented, aren't
he? He is very talented
in many ways,
and we'll get to that in a second. Now, being pregnant, you feel you have to give up a lot of stuff? Because I want to talk about caffeine, because all week myself and Cormac have been off caffeine. Well, in theory, I didn't do it because I'm not a quitter, I don't give up stuff. Julie, we've established you're expecting. You've probably had to give up loads of nice stuff.
Well, you know, because I have the gestational diabetes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
How's that?
I know. Well, do you know what? It's gas, because obviously, you know, with the gestational diabetes, like, you have to be really strict. So even the likes of porridge now would send me completely over the edge. Like, if I was planning to go on a rampage, I would just sit down with a big bowl of porridge. Like, that's me gone wild.
No.
Wow,
but it's funny because, you know, even my last pregnancy with Ted, I actually lose weight when I'm pregnant. So that's just a tactic.
Well, yeah, you lose a whole person, don't you?
A tactic.
You pop out a person. So
well,
you
do lose
that.
A person, but I suppose.
And then it eats your boobs off.
As in the baby.
Yeah, or your husband.
That's true.
Well,
that happens.
Listen,
so you don't
miss
anything.
You don't miss anything.
Well, you know what? I would miss the chucky. Now, I have to say, I did break out last week and I had an Easter egg. I probably shouldn't admit to that, but I have been so good. But I actually do lose weight when I'm preggo. So now when I get like a date for a wedding or something, I'm like, note to self, top tip, I need to get knocked up to lose this weight, to get into that bandeau dress for the wedding.
I can't believe
lose weight.
But Damo, I can't believe she made the cardinal sin of having an Easter egg before Easter.
I was thinking that.
Are you a mad woman?
But if you had an Easter egg in the gaff, would you not be tempted?
I have two in the gaff because they start to come in now from classes they go to and they're just coming in. And no, not before Easter. That's surely a sin or a crime or something, is it?
It probably is. And I did feel bad because I just had the Easter egg and then Fred, my husband, came in and he was like, I just want to say I'm so proud of how well you're doing. And I was just like rubbing the chocolate from my mouth.
It's a mustache.
But I can't have Easter eggs. I could never have an Easter egg in the gaff and not eat it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, big time.
Have you ever given up anything?
It's not our fault though, because the February 15th Easter eggs start coming out. The second Valentine's Day is finished.
Don't care when they come out, Damo.
We're so close to Santa having rabbit ears on. Like, they sell them all year round anyway, pretty much. It's months and months and months. And we've got to wait? Nah, man, dive in.
Do you do Lent? Do you give up anything?
No.
Have you ever given up anything?
No. I cannot. I'm like you. I don't quit. But what I try, like, my attempt of it is the balance. Mr. Miyagi was right. You can have whatever you want. You know, your body wouldn't, you know, if you're having too much of one thing. So you just sort of got to ease it off.
I hear you.
You got to ease it off. You got to balance it out. That was just a plain and simple answer, but you don't have to quit if you're not destroying other people and yourself.
And you can't, if you're like Cormac and drink an obscene amount of caffeine, you can't go cold turkey because you'll have headaches and sweats and you have to kind of wean yourself off.
Yeah.
He was like something from Train Spotting. It was frightening.
Babies crawling around the ceiling.
He was going bananas.
Oh, I haven't had a cup of tea today. And then the room is shrinking and growing.
How many teas or coffees would you have normally in
a
day?
In a day? Like that, I do limit it to 5 a day, I'd say.
What? That's limiting.
You're a mental case.
Yeah, but because of the, you know, I'm a dad in the day, so I got to get up at 6:37, and then I don't stop work until like what 12.
You're not a dad at night time.
What's that?
You said I'm a dad during the day. Does it stop?
Yeah, then I stop. Then I'm like, good. As soon as he falls, when he's unconscious, when he's asleep, I'm like, all right, I'm hitting the town.
I want to talk about this because on Monday show we found out that our listeners are amazing.
Okay. They are amazing.
They're amazing. Loads of them have saved people's lives. Okay? Saved people's lives. I'm not just talking about little birds that fall out of trees and stuff like that. Julie, you're amazing. Whose life did you save on a country road?
Well, no. Okay, so last year, I was driving along, and you know where we were living in Kerry at the time? It was very rural. So there was a Bohree right beside the gaff, and there's a very steep kind of a drop-off on the side of the road. So a very deep ditch.
Cliff.
And I was driving along in my Yaris, because once a moon tour, always a moon tour, driving along my Yaris, and I spotted a mouse in the middle of the road. So I swerved to avoid the mouse and ended up in the ditch.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I had to ring a guy to come and tow me out of the ditch, and then I went over because I was very concerned. I could see the mouse wasn't moving. So I went over, and the mouse demo actually was a leaf. So I had ended up in the ditch over a leaf.
The sad part about that was there was 4 goats in the ditch, so you killed 4 goats.
I'd always been like that. Even as a kid, I'd be going to extraneous lengths to save a ladybird kind of stuff. And I would definitely never be the person to rely on in a life or death situation when it came to humans, though, because I am a panicker.
You're not great in an emergency situation.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be. Like, I would say I'm definitely a panicker. My husband, Fred, is the next extreme. Last week, I kid you not, last week, I'm sure nobody else has ever uttered these lines, but Fred, we had a bit of an incident in the house, and Fred said, "Julie, relax. It's only a grill fire. There's time there." And what's most alarming about that is Fred used to be a lifeguard. I mean, that's too relaxed, isn't it?
A lifeguard?
Yeah. I really think you.
Fred Cook was a lifeguard.
You and Fred Cook need cameras all over your house, and I need this Kardashian-type sitcom / documentary to happen immediately.
I tell you, I'm an overthinker, and Fred would say he's an underthinker. So there has to be some. There has to be a person in the middle there.
How is Fred as a lifeguard? Someone's needs trouble, and he's like, "Woo woo!"
Yeah, I know.
He wouldn't need a whistle.
It is. He definitely would not need a whistle. I can confirm. No whistle.
Then he starts singing a song. "You're drowning. Did you do the leaving cert?"
Well, he is. You know, he's the type. He enters a room, and he likes everyone to know he used to be a lifeguard. So you'll often find him entering a room singing, "Some people stand in the darkness." Like, he just likes to kind of shoehorn it into conversation.
You have to. Speedos. It's a life skill. It is a life skill. It's very important to have. I come from a family of lifeguards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They're all, except for me, I didn't. I couldn't be arsed. And I regret it. I do regret it. Mm. But I have CPR. Damo, your family have rescued loads of dogs. Now, were your parents thoughtful and caring, or just too scabby to actually pay for a dog?
Well, I thought they were being very helpful because we always had family dogs. But it was because they were free. I mean, you're doing a service. And this is the other thing. Oh, like, there are dogs that you could buy for thousands of euros, thousands of pedigrees. And you see them in the park, all these nice, shiny big dogs, and then your mongrel. They're just as good.
They're just
as
good.
You throw a ball, you know, sometimes the mongrel's faster, sometimes not. It's going to bring the same ball back.
But isn't it funny? It's funny about the mongrel thing, isn't it? Because, you know, when you meet someone now and they might have paid a lot of money for a dog, and you ask what kind of dog it is, and they're, you know, they come up with some
makey-uppy
name, and they say it's a cross between a cocker spaniel and a poodle. You're like, I don't even want to think how that happened. But sure, we used to call these dogs mongrels.
Yep.
That was the name back in the day.
I love a mongrel. Any rescue dog.
And they live longer, apparently.
You still
got to pick up the poop.
Do you know what I love?
What's that?
A dog with 3 legs.
Oh, tripod.
Cute.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat a dog with... It. Nothing makes you happier than seeing a dog with 3 legs. Or a dog with 1 eye. Or something that's really, you know, something... You know, that's happened to it, and you go, "Oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen."
Still so
I like
happy.
A flaw, because I used to be like flawed. That when I was dating as well. I always liked something, you know, kind of a
flawed.
Yes, I like a flaw.
A guy
in a dog
with an
and
eye
a man.
Patch.
Yeah, just, yeah. Well, I used to wear an eye patch back in the day. I was a bit of, do you remember Gabrielle?
Yes.
And I had my eye patch and I was delighted because it was around the time as Gabrielle, so I felt very on trend.
Did you have a condition or did you just...
Well, I had very gunky eyes, not to brag. I still would have a gunky eye. But yeah, no, I just was, you know, I was one of those children. Like, do you remember the Nicole Kidman film, The Others?
Mm-hmm.
I was basically like one of those kids pressed up against the glass. I just couldn't go outside. I had the gunky eyes. I was translucent. Like, my, honestly, you know, my current foundation, I'm pretty sure the shade is rigor mortis. Is that what it's called? Or rigor mortis? So. Is that it?
Yeah.
So I just had very bad eyes. So I had an eye patch for a long time.
Go you. Yeah. Have you ever saved a life before we move on to our next story? Have you ever saved?
Have I saved a life? No.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Let's talk about dating and kissing tips, because in the middle of the week we were talking about what not to ask on a date. Damo, you're a right smoothie, I'd say.
Huh?
What were your go-to questions on a date?
Oh, well...
Now, yeah, just to clarify, you haven't been on a date in a long time, because you're
happily...
Yeah,
it's been happily... over 20 years. But
okay.
But when... Can you say courting? When me and my now wife was courting, I remember asking her... what was her, I knew her first name and last name, but I was like, what was her middle name or names? So I was
smooth.
Like, what's the first letter of your middle name? I remember asking. Because that's cool, because then you got to guess, what's the first letter? And she had one middle name, she still does. And it was P, so
okay.
Man, try and guess that. It was tricky. So it's Philomena, but I didn't, it took me a long time.
That is a ridiculous question to ask someone on a first date.
It's great. Because it's their name, but it doesn't come up very often. And what is it named after? It was named after her aunt,
no.
And then stories. I think that's a good. I mean, it worked.
No.
Was that the first time you asked?
Wasn't the first question
yeah.
I asked her? Hey, what's your middle name start with?
But I'm just saying.
Are you across the bar there? What's your middle name start with?
I think.
And your first name.
That, it's not great, but I think the worst one that came out was from Taryn when she was asked on a date. She was asked, "Does anybody know you're here?"
Oh, stop it. That's the start of a Netflix documentary.
Did he also have an eye patch?
Hey,
back off.
You can trust a person with an eye patch.
Only a female with an eye patch you can trust.
I think probably the worst question you can ask, because I was asked this on a couple of dates. If you ask anything about an ex, like, why did your last relationship break up? Why do people ask that question?
Never ask about an ex ever.
No. I have been asked more than once, and like, you're not going to say the truth if somebody asks you that question. You're not going to say, well, we broke up because I rang him 27 times when he was on a stag in Edinburgh. You're going to say, well, he wanted to get serious and I wanted to keep it casual. Like, you're going to make something up.
Yeah, you're not going to go, look, it's fresh, you're a rebound. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yeah, but it's just, I think anything about an ex on a first
is a
date.
No-no. Okay, well, stay with me. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to get your kissing techniques and what should
or
and shouldn't
kiss.
Be done.
I've
or
got first... a doozy.
Okay,
I've
don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. 2FM. Jen Zamparelli. Welcome back. Jennifer Zamparelli here. Yes, we are in the middle of Jen's Friends and we are talking about the things that got you going during the week. What got you texting in and calling in? The hot topics. I have my two pals, Julie J and Damo Clark in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, we were talking about dating and what not to say on a date, but what about kissing? We got onto that on Wednesday. Julie, do you remember your first kiss?
I do. I remember it very well. It happened the week after I rented Top Gun from Extravision.
Oh,
so I took my initiative from Tom Cruise. I was trying to emulate Tom Cruise. I don't know if you've ever seen Tom Cruise kiss in a film, but it's kind of like, you know, a washing machine on spin cycle before you put the clothes in. Like, you can just see this tongue coming at you. So I took it from that film, I need to use as much tongue as possible. And in my fit of passion, I knocked your man's glasses off. And I broke the glasses. And then the following week, this really puts a date on this. The following week, he messaged me on MSN. Remember
oh,
MSN?
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me for half the money for the glasses.
Oh,
I know.
Goodness.
Did you have the eye patch on? You're not blaming it on the eye patch.
Yeah,
I didn't see what I was doing.
Sorry, my depth of field
was
out.
He had the glasses. I had the eye patch. Sounds
like a match made in heaven.
I was so trauma. I didn't shift anyone again until I was about 18, 19. I couldn't afford it.
Okay, Damo. Apart from not getting into debt like Julie did, what are your top kissing tips?
Oh, don't overthink it.
Good tip.
And don't open your eyes. You're going to want to open your eyes because it's probably the closest you've been to their face and you fancy them because they want to see your face. That's not the time to open your eyes. Don't do it.
No, because you look a bit creepy when you do it.
You look creepy, and then if they open their eyes, which they shouldn't do either, that's awful.
It's terrifying.
Like looking into each other's souls. But it's not a good thing.
Especially with Irish people. We don't want to look into each other's souls.
Not while you're licking each other's teeth or whatever you do. Whatever the carry on is.
How do you feel about
feelings.
The tongue? What's your opinion on the tongue? How much?
Not,
how far?
Not,
how,
too, like,
not too much, right?
Not too much.
You don't have to use it all the time.
No, it's for eating. Come on.
Absolutely. I want to talk about skill set because on Wednesday we had people with all sorts of skills texting and calling in. So Julie, if comedy went south, what's your fallback?
Well, I probably, if at all went pear-shaped, I'd probably go back to teaching, I would say. Because I was a teacher for a long time. I know nobody's ever surprised.
I knew as soon as you said Yaris,
yeah,
you're a teacher.
Yaris all the way. Because there is a whack of moon tour off me. Like,
there
so
is.
Nobody is ever, I give off that energy. That's my vibe. So I probably would go back to the teaching if it didn't work out.
Give us one. Say someone's standing up at the back of the class. Give us one. What would you say?
No, just a little six-year-old wouldn't raise the voice. But you see, what happens
six-year-old.
Is, when I was, like, sit down, because I was a moon tour grey again.
Very good, yeah.
So I'd always be thrown in the couple of fuckle. But you see, back in my teaching days, when I was doing comedy,
just thrown in a couple of fuckles.
But I would teach in a school and it'd all be going fine until they find your TikTok. And then I'd have to start Googling new jobs. You see, that was what kept happening.
You're going to have a stage name for your teaching.
But I did. Julie J was a stage name because I was Miss Nick Owen. And then they still found
they still
me.
Found
kids
it.
Are great online these days.
Oh,
they're digital natives.
That's
so they found, and like it would always be the case, you'd be asking some child for the homework and then they'd say, my dad said he saw you in the Laughter Lounge. And you'd be like, you know what? Forget the homework.
I mean, you don't need to learn how to read and write.
You could be like the masked teacher. You know, you were dressed like a giant cat.
Mm,
and you're like,
that.
Okay, boys and girls.
Let's pitch this.
Couple of fuckles from a big cat head.
You don't need two jobs. You're fine what you're doing. But Damo, your career did go south in the pandemic. So why was it reassuring to know that you had no skill set whatsoever?
Oh yeah, this is it. We're all in this. This is it.
No, she's
going to
be okay. She can be a teacher. Like, she's grand. What can you do?
Well, I was like, right, I went for one job. I was like, what can comedians do? We travel, we drive. So I was like, right, I can drive. So all the jobs that I've ever gone for my whole life were no experience required, those ones. Mm-hmm. So delivery drivers, like, that's perfect because I can drive. There's one job I went for, right? The closest I got was for delivering laundry, right? You're delivering your clean underpants to people. You need that. And it was like, you need a driver's license and an intermediate level of English. That's me all over. Brilliant.
That's you.
Perfect.
You can do that. Okay.
And I went down to the final interview stages and I still didn't get it.
Oh.
I don't even have an intermediate. And I was like, well, I've got to be a comic then. That's it.
That's it.
So
the pressure.
Like, you know, I can't even deliver. Even if I wanted a job, I'm not qualified enough to deliver undies to people's front door and talk
to
them in an intermediate level of English. Maybe I need a couple of fuckles. You need to teach me a couple of fuckles.
You do. That's exactly what you need. I don't know, but you need to go off and upskill. Absolutely. Lads, absolutely brilliant. Julie J and Damo Clark, thanks for coming in. What are you guys up to and where can people find you? Damo.
Oh, Crackden Comedy Club. The Workman's every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm there every weekend.
It's great fun.
And all the other gigs as well are on Damien Clark on the socials. At Damien Clark.
Julie J.
I'm going to be in
having
Waterford
a baby.
Grace, having a baby, making a human, and then also in Waterford, Greystones, Limerick next weekend. Greystones is sold out. But there's still tickets for
amazing.
Waterford and Limerick. And that is on, all the ticket links are on Julie J Comedy.
Julie J Comedy, so all your ex-pupils can find
So if you're
you.
Looking for me, guys, I could do with the follows at this time. So please do it.
As we say on this show, we'll take anything at this stage.
Lads,
thanks for coming in. We'll be back right after this.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.